Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to System Mastery, the podcast that beats a dead horse for a small amount of damage, but has a very fast recharge time, and allows for single target damage enhancements and invention sets. On today's episode, we're taking you all the way back to the halcyon early days of MMO design to talk about something unusual. See, we recently acquired the playtest documents for an aborted RPG licensed by and designed to accommodate City of Heroes, the first ever superhero MMO. And boy, do we ever want to talk about it. And by it, I mostly mean City of Heroes. And by we, I mean Jeff and John. And by talk, I mean it's System Mastery! John, before we get started today, how are you?
I'm doing great. And you know why I'm great?
Oh, I would love to know why.
Why? It's because we have an announcement mastery.
Oh, I love announcement masteries. That's when someone gives us $75 right on our website via the pay us some money button, and then we read an ad for them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right over at SystemMasteryPodcast.com.
And we always start by reading an ad for ourselves.
That's what we start with.
Uh-huh.
That's what the people crave.
That's what an ad for an ad featuring an ad.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Also featuring Pharrell.
Of course.
And here he is now, John.
And
also so, featuring Pharrell's ice cream.
Ooh, hell yeah, dude. I way prefer that.
That's how you pronounce that ice cream.
Place uh-huh. When you go there and you're like, hey, can I get some Pharrell's ice cream? And they're like, yes.
Sure, we don't actually legally have obligations.
No one who works here cares any amount at all.
Ever has. I don't think anyone even works here anymore. I'm not sure there still is Pharrell's.
Sure there is.
Really? Good.
They're out there in the wilds, untamed. They're ferals.
In the American heartland. John, why don't you tell us what our announcement mastery is?
Hey there, adventurers. We are thrilled to introduce Let's Quest. It's a nonprofit that's changing the game for after-school fun and learning. Let's Quest believes in the power of tabletop role-playing games to ignite creativity, critical thinking, and community in young minds.
Ooh.
They're on a mission to support after-school tabletop role-playing game programs by giving educators and facilitators all the tools they need. And the best part?
Yeah?
It's free!
That is a good part.
It's all so free!
Oh, I love free things, especially something like a good cause like that, like bringing role-playing games into schools where they can start working on today's youth.
Get them young.
Get them. Make them fans of ours.
If you already run or want to start running an after-school TTRPG program, they can help. They're handing over the keys to a treasure trove of resources, guides, and tools that turn every TTRPG session into an unforgettable adventure of learning and laughter.
And discovery.
And love.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And lasers.
And feelings.
And hamburgers.
Let's Quest! Members will work with you to get everything you need to get started, or to enhance established groups with expanded materials.
Cool.
Here's the thing. To keep the magic alive and reach even more young minds, they need your help.
Oh.
If you're an educator or looking to help, head over to www.letsquestafterschool.org. There you can make a one-time, much-appreciated donation or sign up for small monthly donations to become a Let's Quest hero.
Ooh, a hero.
I mean, a Let's Quest hero. Got yeah. Stars in their eyes.
Do consult your ophthalmologist if you have stars in your eyes.
Oh, it's dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
By supporting Let's Quest, you're helping make sure that students have fun, safe spaces to explore and improve themselves through tabletop games. Once again, that's www.letsquestafterschool.org.
Mm-hmm. Note that you can't put an apostrophe in a URL, so there's not one.
No, mm-hmm. Indeed not.
Very good.
Let's make every game session a stepping stone to a brighter, more imaginative future.
Well, that sounds like a great thing.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah. I love that we get folks coming through on the Announcement Mastery who have such cool causes. Because I remember a while back we did one that was supporting RPGs being put into prisons.
Yeah.
And now we're doing schools, which are just youth prisons. So
it's true.
So this is really great.
Please support your local youth prison.
Uh-huh. Just call them that. Right to their face.
Just go in. Have a, you know, parent-warden conference.
Uh-huh. All right. So we already told you how to find an Announcement Mastery if you want, so I see no reason why we shouldn't get right to the show.
I see no reason that gunpowder treason should ever be forgotten.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to System Mastery, where we're going to talk about just an old piece of Cortex stuff we found from very long. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Unisystem, isn't
it? This is Unisystem.
Unisystem. Yeah, yeah. Cortex, it would have been much more complicated.
Yes.
Yeah. But this is an old piece of Unisystem that we found with officially licensed City of Heroes content.
Yeah.
Sprinkled therein.
Now, this is a quick play, sort of play test document, which means it does not have the full rules.
Mm-hmm.
We will get into some of the rules for it. Obviously, we have done Unisystem a couple times in the past. We've done regular and cinematic.
Yeah,
so,
and we've done it from very, very early. I think like a third or fourth episode.
Yeah, episode three was Buffy, and that was the cinematic Unisystem.
Yeah.
And then we much more recently did regular Unisystem, because I believe All Flesh Must Be Eaten is regular Unisystem that can be cinematic if you would like it to be.
I mean, they all can if you really want and you believe in yourself.
If you try hard, you can be cinematic.
Uh-huh. So this is not our first rodeo with Unisystem, which is good because otherwise this game is extraordinarily bare bones. It really does feel much more like a quick tech demo. Honestly, it's like a lot of the accompanying media that came out in the wake of the City of Heroes MMO. Like, you could tell they did a big old product launch and had a lot of plans, and then none of them worked. Like, there was a CCG. I still had the HeroClix figures.
Yeah, there was. It was very interesting, because City of Heroes was the first superhero MMO, and it was pretty big when it came out, because, I mean, honestly, at that point, the fact that your MMO options were pretty much exclusively fantasy.
Like RuneScape and shit,
Like RuneScape and EverQuest and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then City of Heroes came along, and one of the big things for them is they were like, hey, we have instanced shit. So instead of just wandering down into a cave and hoping that the guy you want to kill, that 30 other dudes want to kill, and you get to tag it first, like, they went, oh no, if you want to do a mission, you go into a building, and there's a whole thing just for you where no one else is.
How fancy.
It was fucking revolutionary when it came out.
Yeah.
And so it was this huge deal. And because it was so popular and unique, they, like you said, had so many licensed things. They had the HeroClix. They had a whole bunch of, like,
well, like I said,
comic book shit.
Yeah. Because I bought in late. I remember you guys had already had, you and our friend Russ, and a few other people had already made characters and played the game for a while when I got on board. And I only bought it by happenstance because there was a Circuit City across the street from me back in those days. And I walked in and found the City of Villains Collector's Edition box set.
Yeah.
Which for like $4 or some ridiculous, because it was already long since, not defunct, but World of Warcraft had happened.
Yeah.
The era had started to come to a close for this. So the box set I bought gave me a lot of shit, including a couple of starter CCG decks and a bunch of HeroClix characters. And I was like, oh, this is all really neat. Can I get more of this? No.
Oh, definitely not. The CCG had barely anything. I don't know that it even had boosters. It just had the starter decks.
Yeah.
And then that was it. So you couldn't buy packs of anything, just the starter decks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had, like you said, the HeroClix thing, which never went anywhere.
Yeah.
All of these things that just never went anywhere.
I remember at the time, or shortly after that, you had picked up a job at a nerd store, and you were in charge of HeroClix at that nerd store, when they ran tournaments and so on. And so I brought you my HeroClix. These are the only ones I had ever seen. And I was like, hey, I've got these ones. I have like the Shark Man and the Spider Dude and stuff. And are they any good? And you looked at them and you're like, no, they are really, really not.
Yeah.
They're absolutely terrible. The game has moved on from this.
Oh, yeah. Because at that point, you're like, these are like 20 years old at this point, and the power progression is so beyond that, because it wouldn't, like, 20 years ago, if you're like, oh, I have the Hulk from 20 years ago. Oh, the Hulk from 20 years ago loses to a Hydra agent. Like, it's bad. They suck ass.
That's not a, the system does not have a lot of longevity or legs to it. And it's only getting bigger. It's not like Magic where they keep having to correct for the giant mistakes of the past.
Well, yeah, because it's the sort of thing where you're like, oh, well, no one's using, like, the 20-year-old version of Thanos. They've all got whatever the current one is, because that's the one you use. But you don't really have, like, legacy versions of Heroclix where they're like, only figures from the first 5 years can be used here.
Yeah.
That's not really a format, so they don't give a shit.
Yeah, so they were just kind of a neat oddity.
Yeah.
I also appreciate that they forgot to put one in the box, but they did put in a card about how to acquire it that was like 15 years old already, so I was like, ooh, neat. I can go get the one character. I think it was Sirocco. They're like, we forgot to give you Lord Sirocco. Go ahead and send us, fill out this card and send it to this defunct company.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the Korean MMO company NCSoft will happily keep a big bag of those somewhere.
Sure, they definitely care about that.
Yeah, that's an additional part of the history of City of Heroes, is that eventually it was purchased by one of those groups that just exist to own old MMOs.
Yeah, and then fully sundowned because they were like, nah, fuck it, we don't care.
Yeah, so there was a long period where you couldn't play it unless you were a couple of people who somehow had the imprints of the original servers privated, and they were quiet people playing this game for 5 years or so while everyone thought it was completely gone, just a dead MMO.
I mean, honestly, there was a period where no one was, because it took a while for one of the actual people that worked on the game to just leak the full-ass code of it.
Yes.
They were like, whatever, here's all of the code, and not just all the code, like, oh, and this is how you could run the game. It had a ton of, like, shit that was still in development. It was, like, the code right when it got shut off, which means there was still stuff that hadn't been implemented, where it was like, oh, here's, like, half of a power set that was going to be made. Because when it got shut off, the people developing it did not know.
Yeah, they didn't expect it. In
they
fact,
were like, oh, we're right in the middle of a storyline. We've got, like, all this shit we want to do. We've got a full timeline of when this is coming out. And then they're like, oh, JK, next month we're done.
Yeah. And, I mean, originally NCSoft was doing the thing where they were, like, pretending they were going to support it for real, you know. But really, they just wanted the server hardware for one of those ultra-grindy, you play as, you have to play as a lady to play this class, and boy, does she ever not like tops.
Oh, yeah.
That type of MMOs, which did not go do well for them. It was like Rift or something. I forget which one it was.
I mean, NCSoft definitely was like, oh, we need this for one of these weird grindy MMOs. Oh, it turns out those last for, you know, 1 year and then do nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, either that or they become the one that everyone plays in, like, South Korea, and that's the one that matters.
Yeah.
So they're just a gamble mechanic. But for a brief period, they were like, yeah, we're definitely going to support this. Look, we put Statesman, the major good guy hero from the City of Heroes, in a MOBA we're working on. And then that was the only time they ever managed to escape to another video game.
Yeah. It is a wild, interesting history for City of Heroes. And the fact that this game never actually came to fruition is kind of weird to me.
Yeah, there was time for it, too.
Only because I'm like, it was already just going to be Cinematic Unisystem. It's not like they were creating a whole cloth game.
Yeah.
So the fact that they didn't just go, yeah, sure, why not finish it?
Yeah, and even with the writing on the wall that, hey, maybe this MMO isn't going to be the WoW killer or whatever, or WoW is going to be this killer.
Yeah.
You could see, even then, it had big enough numbers that it was good enough for an RPG, especially an upstart RPG like Unisystem, to be like, that's still big numbers for us. We're still on board. That makes a lot of sense. It's not like it had been, you know, if another video game company would be like, we're thinking about making a fighting game based on your cool heroes. Oh, wait a minute. You have less than 300,000 daily subs now.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, because it's, again, especially with a system that is already in place, you're like, man, there's not a ton that you have to do. I mean, I understand the fact that this game really, and you can tell from just the, like, bare bones playtest thing here, they did want to emulate the MMO real hard. Like, it's got security level stuff in there.
It's got the same archetypes and power selections. Like,
you have to pick, you know, your archetype and your powers, and you've got your main and your secondary and all that. And It's got like endurance costs for things.
It's got the inspirations.
Yeah, it's got a full inspiration. It used the Unisystem drama points to basically go, oh, instead of what you would normally use drama points for, you just use them for the inspirations, which were like the only real items that existed in that game.
Yeah, they were, well, a salvage mechanic, but yeah, but they're basically just buffs. They're little one-use buffs that you have a special inventory for that you can get up to, I think, 20 or so of inventory slots for just by leveling. And then you can manage them throughout the game. You can turn some of them into other ones and you can upgrade them. And sometimes if you're playing in the gamble mechanics or buying booster packs from the old stores that used to exist, you could get like ones that did two things.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did their best to really kind of incorporate as much City of Heroes stuff as possible into this to try and turn it into a full-on simulation of the MMO, which is interesting to see because this isn't our first time reviewing an MMO game either.
No. We've EverQuest, done several of the MMO ones, and it's interesting to see what a game decides is or is not like a thing they want to use from the game.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, well, we need to evoke the idea of this, but some things are like, we're just D&D 3.5,
yeah,
and we changed the words around, and something like this feels like, oh, we're Unisystem, but we are trying our best to really be this MMO.
I mean, that was one of the funniest things about reading the EverQuest, which was, like John was saying, was a 3.0 era OGL system, was what do you think is so important about EverQuest that you desperately need to put it into this? You think it's going to be, oh, there's a bunch of interesting classes that are specific to EverQuest that you're not going to see, like Necromancer and so on, that while they exist in the D&D ecosphere, you don't necessarily have them out of the box.
Yeah.
Or the races. Obviously, got to be able to play as those weird little frog guys and so on. I never played EverQuest, so don't look to me to name any of this.
Oh, yeah. And also, I don't think you could be those frog guys in the base EverQuest. That was a two.
Sure. But here's what was important. Ranks of spells. They needed to change the spell system of D&D to be like, oh, every spell has 14 ranks you have to go up.
Yeah.
And all it is raw numeric increases. There's no actual benefit, but it's just like, oh, instead of doing 100 damage, it does 106.
Yep. By God, that was a thing in EverQuest, and we want to emulate the one annoying thing about EverQuest.
And song twisting was a thing in there as well. It was wild. But yeah, here we see one where they're trying their best to really try to recreate the on tabletop the experience of an MMO, or at least we think, because you know, to really drill down why we thought we'd be able to talk about this, both of us played a shitload of City of Heroes. Because otherwise, we may have had to pass on this. This is 40 pages, of which like 27 is adventure stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's a big adventure thing with then stats for the bad guys in the adventure. And then another huge swath at the end, which is just six of the playable characters that you can be. Because this does not have character creation rules.
No.
It does not have a lot of stuff. There is no section that's even like, oh, this explains like certain superpowers. So even if you were to go, oh, I want to play as like Minx, who is a claws scrapper, you're like, oh, we're not going to explain claws powers. We'll have the few claws powers that she has on her sheet and tell you what those do.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that really gets into the systems.
And I thought the most interesting thing here is that it opens up by telling you, hey, there are only three chapters in this book, and all of them are for DMs or GMs only.
Oh, yeah. They're like, most of this is just, how do you roll the dice to play this game?
Yeah.
What do things mean? And then the rest of it is just shit to run the adventure.
Yes.
So they're like, yeah, you probably shouldn't even be looking at this if you're planning on playing it, because there's nothing here for you.
Uh-huh.
There's no character creation. There's no options for you.
You're going to be handed one of these printed out and photocopied character sheets.
Yeah.
And you're going to be running the game that way.
Yeah.
And you're going to run something that feels kind of like a modified version of a good old DFB. It's not. It's its whole own story. But, you know, real ones who played City of Heroes back in the day know exactly what I'm talking about. The old Death from Below.
It's interesting because the base adventure in this is the sequel to the tutorial you play when you start the game.
God, I haven't played the tutorials in forever.
Yeah, the tutorial normally is Outbreak, and it's, oh, there's an outbreak of people who have been, like, contaminated by this drug, and this is the sequel to it, and it's wild, because the game is like, we expect your players to have played this intro before.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing the City of Heroes RPG, we assume you've played the MMO and remember the tutorial you went on.
No, you're not going to hit, no, I don't want the tutorial. Put me in Atlas Park. Put me in Atlas Park.
Yeah, you obviously aren't clicking on the guy who has the thing and then just hitting accept without reading the box of text. Clearly, you didn't do
who
that.
Who would ever do that? That's crazy. Remember how old MMOs wouldn't even let you do that? Like, they'd write, you'd see the little...
God, the opening thing for World of Warcraft where they were like, oh, we need to have it scritch out so that you read it while it's going... And then you have to go into the options to be like, no, just fully put it on screen. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?
People had a different idea of what you would want to spend your time on when you were playing an MMO way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the one time I did install regular old EverQuest. I was like, I want to see what this is. Because, again, to keep bringing him up just because we're doing an MMO day, our old friend Russ, who was an MMO junkie back in those days, was really into EverQuest.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wanted to see what it was all about, but I wanted to do it maybe 10, 12 years after EverQuest had been a thing. And so I installed it, I logged on, and it was like, here's the, welcome to Kunark or whatever. You got to talk to this guy. And I was like, great, click on him. That's not how you do it. Okay, say something to him. That's not how you enter a say command. Slash hail. Okay, you have successfully hailed him. Now what? No, I don't want to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's from before the era of... Now modern MMOs are like, hey, World of Warcraft set the fucking standard. If you change something, you better have a damn good reason, and better be fast as fuck.
Because back in those days, I remember playing it when it was live and just being like, I don't think I ever saw a quest in that game.
Yeah.
That game was literally, hey, man, welcome to being whatever fucking class you picked. You are going to go punch scorpions until you gain a level in punching, and then you're going to punch a slightly larger scorpion until you gain another level in punching.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I played Diablo 2 till my fingers fell off, because that was my personal obsession, and I remember nothing about the story or the leveling experience. I only remember doing Hell, Bale, and other boss runs just endlessly.
Yeah.
And getting good drops and learning how to sell them and so on.
All these stones of Jordan.
I think at one point I had upwards of 12 stones of Jordan, which doesn't sound like a lot because it wasn't like I was a big deal trader or anything. But I never really, I think I maybe got two of them as payment for stuff and the rest just were drops. I played that game too much.
Yeah. Whereas I played EverQuest when it was live for a month and then went, this game sucks absolute shit. Russ, what are you talking about? And then left.
Yeah, I mean, my primary EverQuest experience, as long as we're doing MMO talk, is going to the game store back when game stores would routinely have that one little bank of computers for people to come in and rent them for a while and play their MMOs on them.
Uh-huh.
And there'd be two or three guys in there always playing EverQuest. And EverQuest, as far as I could tell, was a FPS screen, because you didn't see your own character on their place, because they usually zoom all the way in.
Yeah.
Looking at either nothing or so many dense particle effects that it would appear to be nothing, and firing pink bubbles into the nothing.
Yeah.
And then numbers would appear from nearby.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd be talking about how intense this was. And I was like, are you fighting a fog? What is that? What the fuck is that?
Yeah. God. Is bad. So, Unisystem, to get into the base rules here.
You reread Unisystem, which is really useful because I did not.
I mean, I didn't reread the entirety of Unisystem. I did look up the rules again, though.
Oh, that's good. That's fine.
But this has the basic rules in it. So it is a D10-based game.
Yep.
It's basically a D10 plus whatever your modifiers are. The modifiers will either be attribute or attribute and skill.
Uh-huh.
Generally, if you are just doing attribute, you will double it.
Yes. Yeah. If it's a regular skill task, you double attribute.
Yeah. Because if you're like, oh, it's not like a measure of how skilled, but if it's like, oh, you're just trying to lift a heavy thing,
mm-hmm.
just strength, then you're like, okay, double your strength because every role assumes you're going to be adding two numbers. So if you're just doing one, it's kind of like, oh, you're going to suck at this.
Yeah.
They do say, oh, if you want to do it not doubled, you should only do that essentially if you're like, oh, you're trying to do this one-handed or you're off balance or you're groggy or whatever. They're like, if you're making it so they don't double the attribute, it means it's because they're not bringing the full attribute to bear.
Yes. And in a lot of situations, you're going to be rolling two of the attributes. You're going to add two of them when applicable. Although that's largely up to either GM determination or discretion, or there are a couple of built-in mechanics that always do, mostly just using the combination of con and will from your stats.
Basically just trying to stay conscious is that. If you are using a skill roll, it's just your standard attribute plus skill, add them together, roll a d10.
Yeah.
For most of the time, the base level of being able to succeed at something is getting a 9 or better.
Yeah.
If you get a 9 or a 10, that is the bottom of you basically succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, getting a 9 is just like, oh, you squeaked out whatever you were trying to do.
Yeah.
The...
Well, it was a squeak. I was trying to get a little squeak out. So as far as I'm concerned, critical success.
Now, every 2 points above that for a while, it gives you an extra success level.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, an 11 will give you level 2, 13, 3, until you reach 17. And instead of it being 17, 18, it's 17, 18, 19, and 20 are all one level. So it gives you 4 instead of 2 for a level. And then above that, it's 21, 22, 23, so it gives you 3 for the level.
Yeah, now is that Unisystem?
That is Unisystem. Okay, it is a weird thing where they were like, oh, it always goes up by 2, until now where it's 4, and then the next one where it's 3, and then after that it's just whatever, who gives a shit?
Yeah, little odd.
It's just a weird choice. I don't know if, you know, 10 years ago we brought it up in Buffy, but it is a weird thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Go back and listen. Don't go back and listen to the Buffy episode.
Oh, probably not. That really, was real bad.
Real early.
I mean, not just bad because we were bad at doing this, but bad because our equipment was shit at that point. It probably sounds like ass.
Yeah, I think we recorded that like just directly into a toaster.
Yeah. Like, we were just yelling into the void, and somehow our phone heard it and recorded it,
uh-huh,
and then gave us suggestions based on it.
10 years ago, they were still doing that.
Yeah.
The Big Brother is listening, John. Every time you say something into your phone, it automatically sends you a Google search for it and puts a chemtrail over your house.
Wait a minute. Are you just looking at times of day? No, it starts blue and then chemtrails make it gray later.
Remember how things used to be bluer?
Now, that's basically how it works for players. Unisystem in here is interesting in that for NPCs, bad guys, anything like that, they don't roll. They just have a base number that's like, oh, are you trying to hit me? My base dodge is at a 15. So it's not even that you're trying to hit a 9. You're trying to get over a 15. They'll also have, when I am attempting to hit you, I have a base like accuracy of a 14. So if you can get your dodge to that or better, then I will miss.
Yeah.
But it just means on the GM's level, when they're trying to run, you know, 15 minions, they're like, okay, well, I don't need to worry about like rolling individually for each of them. They can all just do their shit.
Yeah. They end up just being piles of static numbers, which is useful, but there are more of them than you'd expect.
Well, I'll get into it once we start talking about the adventure, but the numbers in this are fucking wacky.
Yeah, they're kind of high, right? Like, was I wrong?
They're very weird.
Yeah.
And not just weird because they are high, but weird in that they are, like, I tried to do the math on certain things for how Unisystem works, which is why I went and looked up the actual rules, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but this does not add up to what it should be.
It does seem like it's missing some parts. Like, notably, there's a section that explains all of the details of attacking or combat mechanics in the game, but one of the ones that's missing is just for the damage. It says, like, your attacks...
You'll do damage.
Your attacks will deal damage. It'll show how much right there. And then when you look up damage, it's, like, weird numbers that don't seem... I mean, I think I understand them based on nothing but just kind of having read games in the past. Like, I'm looking at, let's say, Minx's first attack. It does 75 damage, lethal, 75/10.
Yes.
Now, I think that's because 75 is the maximum and 10 is the per success, additional success range.
It's 75 base and then 10, I believe, additional? For each security level.
Oh, for security
level.
So
if you end up going up, it'll do that much more.
Oh,
because there are certain things that can increase your security level effectively for damage. So if, say, you had aim or build up powers from the MMO,
mm-hmm,
I assume it would just say, oh, this adds plus whatever to your security level, because you can get, there were damage inspirations, and so, like, if you use an enrage inspiration, which is use 1 point of inspiration to get enrage, and for the next 6 turns, you are plus 1 security level for the purposes of determining damage.
Right.
So I was almost certain that the slash whatever was, if you go up in security level, that's how much more you do.
Right, right.
Because generally, the game has a, your accuracy, you're trying to hit, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get extra damage based on how much more past that you get.
Yeah, I was going to say, because there's a success chart range where you're like, oh, I rolled an 11, so I get success plus one additional level. And I forget, I think it does add damage. I don't know if it just adds another incidence of the base damage.
In base Unisystem, it is like, if I needed a 12 to hit you and I rolled a 14, I would add 2 more damage because I got 2 above it. Because in base Unisystem, you aren't hitting for 75 fucking damage. You're hitting for like 10.
Okay.
So having an extra 2 is great. Whereas this is like, all right, I got over your defense by an extra 4. Now instead of 75, I do 79. Who fucking cares?
I mean, I guess that makes sense insofar as there wasn't really a quality of hit mechanic in the City of Heroes MMO. Like,
no, it was just hit or don't.
You hit or don't. I think there was a crit
system. Certain classes could crit.
Yes, but... but that was, yeah, that's right, because crit was one of the base abilities for like scrappers or something. But so yeah, like maybe that's just to show that there's a small amount of random variation to damage gets boiled down into the success adding, and that's it. Because it's like, hey, it's going to be really close to whatever your base range is.
Yeah,
that is weird. This game is so weird.
It's very weird because the numbers are skewed so different from base system.
Yeah,
and they don't tell you how they got to those numbers because it, again, doesn't have the like explanation of powers or the explanation of systems.
Yeah.
For initiative in here, I do like that they generally just say, unless you have the fast reaction ability, which is just, I get to go first. They're like, just have the good guys go and then have the bad guys go.
Yeah, they got a whole thing on initiative that's like, how should you handle initiative? And it's basically like, look, it's City of Heroes. You see the pack, and then the person who wants to pull them shoots at them.
Yeah. Look, you start, and then everyone scrums for a while, and that's it.
They pile onto you. I mean, they won't really, because the controllers will hit them with 50 mezzes, and they'll all hold still. You're running 8 people, right? I mean, you got to be.
You got to be running 8.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this, though. I was like, they have one controller in the pack, and it's an Illusion Kinetics controller.
My
and I
old
was like,
favorite.
This motherfucker rules, and then I looked at what powers they gave him, and I'm like, they fucked up.
The worst ones.
ain't got shit.
That was my first character. When I joined in and tried to play with you guys, I had an Illusion Kinetics character named Vaporware, and I was really proud of that name at the time because that was one of those games where the servers would have all the names grabbed by people.
Oh, yeah.
If you had any good name at all, it was taken and someone was camping it somewhere.
Mm. So, yeah, the initiative is basically just, you know, unless you get ambushed or whatever, just go and then they'll go and it's fine.
Yeah.
You have... an interesting thing that they did here, which is that they separated out your superpowers from your base ability to do things.
Yeah, now they're called maneuvers. So, I mean, it does kind of feel like the secondary power pools from the old game in that they have things like punch and spin kick and so on as maneuvers.
Yeah, and your base maneuvers, you know, in addition to being like, all right, I can punch a guy or kick a guy, they're also generally your stats for what your resistances are. So, like, if someone tries to stun you, you're like, all right, well, in my maneuvers is my mental resistance, so I'll see what they need to do to hit that.
Yeah.
But it's also got, like, your dodge in there, so you can be like, oh, well, if I want to try and dodge out of the way, I can get that. And the only, I mean, outside of superpowers just being better than maneuvers, the real big difference is... superpowers cost endurance, maneuvers don't.
Yeah, superpowers also can only be used once per each per action set, where maneuvers can be used an unlimited amount of times.
Yeah, so a power will be like, oh, once per turn, you could use, you know, like a claw slash.
Well, now, let's not say turn, because there's a difference between turn and action set.
Yeah, because you also have two or three actions, generally, depending on something.
Yeah, because the initiative system works by... they don't have any numbers to it. So you can, it does say you can dice off to see who goes first if it's contentious, but for the most part, hero should just go first. But the way it'll go is you go, the enemy goes. You go, the enemy goes. Until you've used up each one of your actions that you have in your list, and then everyone who hasn't yet gets one more round to do those. It's like Shadowrun, where Shadowrun has like the number of actions you can do.
Yeah.
But those are called action sets. Each round of I go, you go is an action set. Each time you have to refresh those pools is a turn.
Yeah.
And so powers will refresh on action set, but there are other things that will refresh on turn or be only like once per turn or last entire action sets or entire turns.
Yeah. So most things that are like buffs or debuffs will last a number of turns. Usually if it is a control effect, if you're like, I want to stun or sleep or whatever a character, those last two turns and then they come out of it.
Yeah.
If it's a buff, it usually lasts six turns, and there are certain things that are long recharge. If they're like, oh, we only want you essentially to use this once per combat.
Right. So it's like aim or that big bomb that some classes
can do. Oh, usually
can
it's they're some buff.
Buffs and some novas.
So it'll be like, all right, this is either a ridiculously powerful attack or some buff that you're going to hand out to someone. Like, there's a force field defender in here, and their force field that they can give to someone is a long recharge, and that has a recharge of either 1 minute or the combat, whichever is longer.
Right.
So it is fully a just, you can only do this once per combat, which sucks as a defender, because I was like, oh, but I should be able to put this on everyone. This is a single target force field I can put on one person. And then I can't do it for the rest of the combat.
It feels like a rebalance pass when it happened there, because normally defenders are just like, yeah, that's what I do. I stand here and I throw force fields on people.
Yeah, I'm a force field defender. I'm bubbling people all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to have a little bubble on you, my man.
You're going to have a bubble, and you better hope that this is before you were allowed to mess with the colors, or else it's going to be like opaque, bright green.
You're going to have some weird aqua bubble around you for some reason.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Because I'll be honest, I played City of Heroes at any point within the last like couple of years when it's been owned and operated by private entities and so on.
Yep.
Like, and they've taken a lot of the old hurdles out of the game. So I have forgotten what it was like to play it back when it was live and you could do like one thing.
Yeah. I mean, not only were they like, oh, we're just going to take the full blinders off for all of the options for character creation. You don't have to wait until... your level, it used to be you had to wait till you were like level 14 to get a travel power. And they're like, hey, you can get it 4. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, who gives
a
shit? You can have as many of these things as you want. We added a bunch of new ones. They took out the part where you had to have a character at level 50 to be able to unlock these like bonus secret classes you could play as.
Yeah. It's become highly permissive. And this is from when the game was still like, well, we have to gate your ability to do things. That's what an MMO does.
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to keep playing if we can't gate things.
I looked this up, and I feel bad because I normally don't do any research, but this is barely a game anyway, so I feel okay about it.
Yeah.
This is from 2006.
Uh-huh.
The reason that it didn't become... you were curious why it didn't go into a full RPG, and I have the answer for you. They didn't have the funding, because the cancellation of the license with Fox for Buffy and the Angel RPGs stripped Eden Studios, which made Unisystem, of all their money.
Huh.
So they couldn't afford the development on City of Heroes. And as of 2008, the owner of Eden Studios was asked, like, hey, what's going on that City of Heroes one? And he was like, I'm just waiting for the license holders to say go and they'll pay us to do the RPG and we will. And then he just never spoke about it again.
Yeah.
So there's your answer.
All right. Yeah. They had no money and City of Heroes had no money and they were all just like, nah.
So if you're wondering why we're not all constantly playing the third edition of City of Heroes, the Unisystem RPG this very day, it's Fox's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So, in addition to all of that, you've got the endurance cost for things, for superpowers.
Yes.
is interesting, at least because most people don't get endurance back mid-combat, at least from the baseline characters we see here. There is, I think, one character, and it's just Miss Liberty, who has a item, her...
the scabbard of her Excalibur.
Her belt.
Yeah.
The Liberty belt gives her 5 endurance per turn. So she is living fucking high on the hog, because everyone else is like, I have a set number of endurance, and I do not regen during combat, and whatever I use is gone.
Yeah. The 6 characters that this game comes with, by the way, are like the A-team's sidekicks.
Yeah, they're the pals. Vindicators, which is basically, I guess, the Teen Titans.
Yeah, it's pretty close to the Teen Titans of the universe of City of Heroes. Because the big heroes, you remember guys like Statesman and Back Alley Brawler and stuff.
Oh, yeah, because also all of them are like, oh, I have contacts, whatever, one of the people from the big team. And then all of it, right after it, says he's out of town, because they do not want you to go, all right, well, I'm fighting some bad guys. I contact Superman and ask him to help. You cannot.
And I swear one of them sounds like I had at least, because the art in this book is, there's a couple of official art pieces from original City of Heroes, like concept art and the manuals and so on. But there are all the pictures of the characters are just their in-game sprites in their in-game locations.
Yes, indeed.
Like, Miss Liberty's one of the playable characters. She's the first superhero you ever see in this game if you don't do the tutorial, because she's the one you talk to when you arrive.
Yeah.
She's just standing there on a plinth like, hi, I'm who you talk to level up.
Yep.
But note, one of them, Malaise, is like the B-team associate of like Miss Psyche or whatever, Sister Psyche.
Yep.
And I've never seen that fucking guy.
No, he...
Is he from a task force or something?
I mean, he's out there in the world, but it's the same thing as like Infernal and Swan and all of these people who are like, oh, where are you? We're in mid-high level zones, mm-hmm. and there's no reason to talk to us.
Yes.
Like, unless you are the person starting some task force, which was their version of raids, there was no reason to ever see this person.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Luminary, and Miss Liberty, you know, because there are people you have to talk to gain levels when you're low level. Everyone knows them.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you're in the starting zones. If I ever created a character, I talk to your ass.
Yeah, yeah. Because in this game, to level up, you had to go back to the main people and be like, hi, can I please have one level?
I'm now an extra level. Can you level me up?
Yeah. So, it's just really funny to me that these C-tier level characters they've thrown you to play as, and some of them make the game look bad.
Yes, no, they do.
Specifically, I think that's Swan.
Yes, it is.
So Swan basically is, she's basically City of Heroes' White Queen. Like, her powers are magic as opposed to being mutant psionics, but her outfit is White Queen at her most excessive.
And she's a force field and psychic character.
Uh-huh.
And also, she is in less than White Queen is wearing. Yeah. Like, she is just bra and panties and a little
highs.
Flimsy, like, drape shawl on her arms.
But the part that makes it unpleasant is her actual from-the-game backstory, where she's got, like, magic parents who were being chased after by one of the bad guy factions from this game, the Circle of Thorns, because they had magic rings. And one day, they manage to get kidnapped by the Circle of Thorns. Who tries to rescue her? Why, Manticore, this game's equivalent of Hawkeye.
Yeah, it's their archer guy.
Who shows up and tries to rescue her, recognizes that she has magic powers, and then, according to this game, teaches her the superhero game, including getting her fitted for a costume and everything. And you're like, wait, that dude's just like some 35-year-old Hawkeye wannabe.
And also, Swan is 16.
She's 16, and his big idea was, let's get you in your underwear and have you standing around handing out levels to people.
Yep. I need you to be in a bra, panties, and thigh highs as a 16-year-old, and I'm going to make you go fight crime in that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Manticore, you need to be on a list.
This is not okay.
You're a bad person.
I mean, her contact is Manticore out of town, and it should be Manticore directly to jail. No, right away.
Into the ocean with Manticore.
Again, he's just like a Green Arrow type. He's got the worst hat in the world. He looks like he's dressed up as Knuckles.
Yeah, he definitely looks like he's in a Knuckles costume.
Or really more like, what's his name, Mighty the Armadillo? But come on, who remembers Sonic Mania? Oh, right, everybody. That's way more popular than City of Heroes.
I mean, the thing is, most of the lady outfits for the superheroes in this were bad. Sister Psyche herself is like, what are you wearing? Oh, like panties and then the like Fifth Element straps.
Yeah, this game had, if you remember anything about City of Heroes, and you probably do because you're a nerd of an age, let's be honest, it's that it had that super robust character creator for 2006 or so.
Yeah.
Like, to this day, it's
honestly,
still,
it's still amazing for a character creator because it gave you a shit ton of stuff.
It's got so many millions of options. It's incredible. It just, you know, looks like 2006 or so.
Yeah.
But it's a million 2006 or so options. It's fantastic. But if you play as a girl, it is a struggle to not play as a girl in her underwear. And I don't mean morally. I mean physically. The game will fight you. The game will be like,
are you sure?
Bottoms with skin? Okay. No, I would like pants, please. Pants with skin? Eh? Pants with lots of skin? How about just a bikini bottom?
You want some assless chaps?
Thigh highs. All chaps are by definition assless, especially in this game.
Assed chaps?
Those are just pants. Unless you're just cutting out the front, I guess.
Hell yeah. But yeah, it is. But it, like, Sister Psyche in that outfit, you go, that is, you know, a woman in her late 20s, early 30s. She has made that choice.
Yeah.
Swan is 16 and had an adult go, you're going to wear this and fight crime. That's fucked. That is ultra fucked. And the fact that the qualities that they all have, they're like, oh, we've got resources or contacts or whatever. Miss Liberty has the quality of she is attractive at a plus one and has a plus one to social roles. Swan, a 16-year-old in her underwear, has attractiveness plus three. And I'm just real skeeved out by it.
I'm curious, did they give attractiveness to any of the dudes you can play as?
Why would they do that?
Like Malaise or whatever. I see he has charismatic plus two.
Yeah,
I guess,
no.
I guess that's dude attractiveness.
I mean, they didn't give Minx attractiveness because this was before everyone was like, but she's a cat girl.
You know what? There's only two dudes you can play as anyway, because the other one's Infernal and he's basically just like a living suit of armor. So I guess that's he's got a way out of that, but Malaise has charismatic, but yeah, everyone else is a girl, so.
Yep.
And I mean girl, because they're like 16.
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, a robot that's 3 years old or whatever.
Yeah, that fucking, their vision analog, which Luminary is the one that's in here, the remake of Positron, that's some fucking confusing shit, where it's like Positron, a robot, decided to retire. He was based on the engrams of a scientist, and as a wedding gift, someone made him a robot that had the powers of him, but the body and personality of his wife. And then he was like, I don't want that. Have it go fight crime.
This is weird.
This is weird, dude. Why did you make me this?
Yeah, it is very strange.
I'll be honest. I played City of Heroes a lot. I had a lot of max level characters. I spent a lot of time in this game. I clicked through every fucking story as fast as I possibly could. I don't know shit about the world.
Yeah. Cause it's Positron built her, but it's not based on him. It's based on someone else.
Okay, he built it as a wedding
present. As a present for another hero.
Yeah, based on their wife.
Yeah. Here you go. You two got married. Here's a robot version of your wife. That feels fucking terrible. And the wife should be like, I'm sorry. Did you just give my husband a fuckbot of me?
No, it's not supposed to be a fuckbot. And then Manticore's like, well, shoot. Then I just got a
robot. Well, goddamn.
I bought her this outfit. Both of you. Jail.
Out. No. None of you. Ugh. You're all gone. So. All of you have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God.
That's it. I'm going to City of Heroes. St. Marshall, accept my application.
Ugh.
Or City of Villains, I should have said. That would have made the joke make sense.
That would have.
I'm sorry, everybody.
So, yeah, we had mentioned inspirations, which is what you use, basically, inspiration points instead of drama points in this game. You can get extra defense or resistance or damage or accuracy or whatnot. And then you recover your endurance points, which you spend to use powers. You get them back a pretty decent amount. It's 5 times your constitution per minute. So if you're outside of combat, you should go back pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then your hit points, you regen 5 times con every 10 minutes.
Okay.
Unless the thing that still exists here, which existed in the MMO, is if you get knocked low enough, you will just be teleported to a hospital and they'll fix your ass.
I thought that was kind of clever, right? Like, they were like, oh, once you become a registered superhero, they give you a special patch you wear, which connects you to the medical system. So if you get knocked unconscious, you immediately teleport for free without having to try to the nearest hospital where you are automatically stabilized and brought back to full health. And then you can start running your ass back to the raid.
Yep.
And also, they extended a little bit and said, oh, you can go to the hospital whatever you want. You don't have to be dead. So it's like you get out, you can escape as well.
Yeah, you can just hit your patch and be like, no, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
Fuck this. I'm done.
So, yeah, I noticed you're noticing my screen over there.
I am.
That's because I found the Wikipedia article had all the offshoot things that existed for City of Heroes, including... Jeff said, expounded universally. Some novels.
Goodness gracious. So, basically that just leaves talking about the adventure and... the characters.
Yeah, because we really are done. That was about all there was to it. It was kind of... I thought the inspiration system was kind of neat.
Yeah. No, the fact that the game had three levels for each type of inspiration,
mm-hmm.
and they included all of the stuff that they were doing in those inspirations.
Yeah, I think almost all of them are represented. The only one I didn't see was, like, there's one for you're harder to hit, but I didn't see one for you resist damage. So you had the purple shield inspos, but not the orange ones.
Yeah. I mean,
not like I know. I never once clicked on those to figure out what the fuck they were. I just was like, oh God, I'm taking damage. All of them. Click all of them.
All
please
the stuff.
Save me.
Yeah. They've got... although I actually think the resist inspirations were a later addition to the game. They may not have even been a thing at this time.
Oh, I had no idea.
But anyway. So yeah. The actual... story that you go through is a sequel to the tutorial.
Uh-huh.
And it has all of the characters from the tutorial that you, of course, know and remember and love.
Yeah, like Sergeant Hines or whatever.
Hicks. Sergeant Hicks.
Uh-huh.
And the only superhero you meet, Coyote.
Yep.
And none of them are able to help you.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like I was saying earlier, I didn't really pay that much attention to this game. I just played to make my own cool character, come up with fun backstories for them, troll like a motherfucker. That was like my reason for this game. This is one of my trolling biggest, and hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what any of these villain groups are, and they always seem increasingly silly to me. They're like, there's one that's like, I kind of German slash Italian fascists World War One, and also they have werewolves.
Oh no, those are different.
Oh, those are two.
Those
different
are
things.
Those are two different things.
Okay.
Yeah. The Prussian ones
mm-hmm.
are all dudes that work for Nemesis, which is basically City of Heroes' version of Doctor Doom.
Okay.
He is the main villain of just like, oh, if you think something is fucked up or you have a conspiracy theory, it's always Nemesis who did it.
Mm-hmm.
Nemesis is behind everything.
And especially the fifth column, I think.
No. The fifth column is Nazis.
Oh, that's werewolves. That's the werewolf
yes,
one.
Yes. The fifth column and... there is an offshoot of the fifth column who was like, oh, you guys essentially went with aliens, and then we went with vampires and werewolves.
Okay.
So there are two different versions of Nazis you can fight, and the two different Nazi versions hate each other.
I mean, it was fairly clever to do it this way, to be like, oh, we're going to need this, because the mechanics of the game, obviously you can't just fight every supervillain every time. So you need to fight a lot of thugs in the game.
Yeah.
So they were like, there's a lot of villainous groups running around, and they usually operate in groups of, like, we got minions and lieutenants and supervillains and bosses and mid-range villains, so that you've got a million things to fight. And it'll always make sense if we walk into a room, there's like 60 guys with TVs on their heads in here. It makes sense to us.
Yeah. Now, the ones you're fighting here are the Vajalok, which are the zombie faction here, because Dr. Vajalok is a guy who is like, oh, I'm basically obsessed with trying to preserve life by making it undead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's gone insane and gone, oh, the only way that we can stop death is by dying and being reborn.
Right.
So his whole deal is, oh, I make zombies. So most of the minions and things you fight are just zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a few, like, lieutenants and bosses that are other people that are on board with turning people into zombies.
Those are the mortifactors.
And then you have, like...
the abominations.
The abominations, which are just super-powered zombies.
Yes. If I remember correctly. And I'm remembering that from having read the adventure a couple hours ago, and not from playing the game. In the game, I was just like, I don't know, they're targets.
Nah, you get some... bosses will be like, oh, I'm a not even called an abomination. I forget what their actual name in the game is, but they are the super powered ones.
Okay.
And then you can do a raid and go fight Dr. Vaj.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some task force where you got to fight these things. Well, Death from Below is the big one because they're like the first thing you do.
Well, yeah, Death from Below is fight all of these various different factions because you got to go fight the Vajalok and the Lost. And
that's right. I forgot. The Lost, which are part of... They're like the Gene Stealer cult if the Tyranids were just aliens, like regular aliens.
Yeah, if the aliens were just like big gray aliens,
uh-huh,
then that's what that is, because the Rikti invaded, and then they're sort of infecting the homeless population with a thing that mutates them into aliens.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, weird shit.
Breaking news, John, if you're curious, because I still have this wiki open. Tom DeSanto, the producer of the first Transformers movie, at one time had acquired the option to make movie and TV shows based on City of Heroes.
Yep.
As of 2008. In February of that year, he announced that he had already begun prep for the film, and there was a summary released for it. Would you like to know what it was?
I would love to know what it is.
It was going to be the first Rikti War.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Great.
That's all we know.
Yeah. That was the background for the game takes place after the Rikti War, and it was great because that was the way that the game had an in-universe reason for all of the zones in what should ostensibly just be one big city being different places you had to load into. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, we've got these giant energy barriers up because the Rikti War made it so that, like, oh, the only way we could stop them from murdering everyone was to have these huge energy barriers. So it'd be like, oh, going from, like, downtown into this part of town, you have to go through a checkpoint barrier.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, our in-universe reason why you can't just fly from, like, this part of the city to this part of the city is because of this Rikti War.
Yeah, made perfect sense.
Yeah, it's great.
I honestly, the thing that amazed me there was I was like, the producer of the Transformers movie, how long have we been enduring those bullshit Michael Bay Transformers films?
A while.
Turns out since 2007.
Yeah.
I had forgotten how long back those were, like... Because I was like, are they talking about the 80s Transformers movie?
Oh, God.
That would be wild. But no, they're talking 2007, right after the success of Transformers. This guy was like, City of Heroes is next on the block for me, baby.
Yeah.
I'm hitching my wagon.
Now, one of the things I will say that is very weird to me is looking at the stats for these monsters that you are going to fight. Mostly,
yes.
Either contaminated people who have gone insane because of this weird Vajalok drug,
uh-huh,
or zombies or whatever, they are the low end of their stats for brawling or dodging or doing whatever is a 15.
Yes.
Meaning you've got to hit a 15, or actually a 16, because Ty goes to Defender.
That's correct.
To even be able to hit, like, a regular minion guy.
Yes.
Which, when you look at the superpowers, you're like, oh, well, this has an accuracy of 11. So that's pretty easy. You add a D10 onto that.
Yep,
great. Sure. You should probably be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at, like, what if I'm punching them? Like, if I don't want to use my endurance and I just want to, like, throw a punch at a guy. Oh, well, the accuracy on this punch, you know, even for someone who is
a scrapper,
like Miss Liberty,
yeah,
is like, oh, well, that's good. You can punch someone at a 10. You're probably going
to
be fine.
You have a 40% chance of punching because you have to roll a 6.
If you are Swan and you are a psychic defender, your punch accuracy is 3 and you cannot hit them.
Yeah.
You would have to basically spend inspiration on being like, can I get a bonus to accuracy to not have to spend endurance? Because otherwise, you are doing literally nothing as Swan unless you are spending endurance.
Yeah.
Because all of her shit is just like, I can punch, or I guess I can aim for several turns, but aim is only for ranged attack, so it won't help you punching anyone. You gotta be using your endurance if you are Swan, and you have 130, and it costs 10 per, like, Psy Lance you do, so... You know, hopefully you get this done after 13 attacks.
Now, Silence is one of those powers that takes 2 turns to do, if I remember right. It's basically got its own built-in aim.
I mean, it's a sniper power normally.
Yeah, yeah, so but in this game, the way it works is you declare a target, and then the next turn you'll shoot the Silence at them. It does good damage.
Yeah.
but like the average just contaminated civilian you come across, like, because that's what the storyline is, like, oh, someone's infected a bunch of civilians with a virus that basically turns them into hyper aggressive, confused people.
Yeah.
And then when you investigate them carefully, if you're like, you have to be an incredibly good investigator to notice the difficulty of pulling off that role is insane. You notice that they have a cybernetically replaced left pinky finger.
Yeah.
That is making them go crazy. And then there's
making them go crazy. It's tracking them.
That's just a tracker. They're crazy because they're contaminated.
Yes.
Some of them get superpowers because the contamination affects that they would, if they would have developed superpowers anyway, like in some fashion, it's their triggering event.
Well, for like Bobby, he is a boss level contaminated because he would have had powers.
Yeah.
He had latent powers and this triggered them. So he didn't go as insane as everyone else.
He went differently insane. He is insane. He's just delusional.
He's just lucid while he's doing it a bit rather than being like raging out of control.
Yes.
Whereas the other ones are like, oh, I'm fine unless I come into contact with a superpower. If someone with superpowers gets near me, that's the trigger for me just losing my shit.
Yes. So whenever they see someone, cause like the first person you get called on to fight is like the clerk at a grocery store. And he was outside with his manager watching as someone with fire powers went flying down the street, which is a common thing in City of Heroes. There's hundreds of people with superpowers there. And seeing the guy with fire powers was not inspirational to him like it should have been. It instead drove him insane, and he started throwing shopping carts and boxes around.
Yeah.
But these average guys, like this clerk, have about 145 health.
Yep.
Which usually means they're like, for your scrapper character, which is like your DPS character, like the one who should be doing the most damage, that's like a 2 hits to take out.
Yeah.
And you have to successfully hit them twice.
Yeah. They, you know, low end are about 100 hit points, high end about 200.
Yeah.
And the boss of this, which is Bobby, is like 300.
Uh huh.
And that's great. The super boss is Dr. Dillon.
Dr.
Dillon. 510.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm like, all right, well, you know, if you hit him a few times, it'll go down because most of the shit in here, unless you're using a control power, is like 75 to 100 damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to hit him a lot.
Yeah. No, it seems like it goes fairly quickly. The thing that happens here instead is that you'll take a lot of damage.
Yeah. The base damage, even for just like, I'm a little minion. I'm going to punch you. I'm not even doing a superpower. Is like, this does 46 damage. Now, most of the heroes here have 300 something hit points,
mm-hmm.
with the high end being Infernal, who is the tank, who has 475.
Yeah.
And the low end being Malaise, the controller, with 173.
Yeah.
Do not let him get punched.
Yeah.
But
just don't let him go stand anywhere, because a lot of the bad guys have auras that just do auto damage every round.
Thing is, 173 in Unisystem is an insane amount of hit points.
Mm-hmm. It's because they boost all the numbers way up.
And there is no way of knowing how that happens. Because when you look at something like Miss Liberty, normally your hit points are a function of like, multiply your strength by your constitution,
mm-hmm.
and add an extra little bit, and that's going to get you your hit points.
Yeah.
So like Miss Liberty is normally at, I think, on the normal calculations, 54 hit points. And then she took Hard to Kill 8 times. And Hard to Kill gives you 3 hit points per rank. So she should be at like 80 hit points.
Yes.
And she is at 369. And there is nothing in the game that explains where the damage numbers or hit point numbers are coming from.
Or what Hard to Kill even does. Like, for example, Minx also has it. She took it 7 times.
Oh, yeah. I had to look up Hard to Kill in the base Unisystem to figure out what it did.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, well, that's not it, because they definitely jacked that way up from 3 hit points.
It's funny because normally when you see these number inflations like this, you know, like you're looking at Yu-Gi-Oh cards or something, you're like, why is everything in the thousands? Why not just knock 3 zeros off everything and call it a day?
Why would you do this?
But here you're seeing a lot of things that do like 58 or 72 or something damage. So you're like, okay, well, maybe it's a calculation that they needed to work on. There's a granularity that might explain why they did this. And I don't think there is. I think those numbers are arbitrary and you could round them all off and then just shave it all back down again.
Yeah, because I even went like, all right, if I take what should be your hit points, subtract it from your total, and then divide by the hard to kill number, will I get a number that it now does? And the answer is no, you're going to get like 39.378 for what it is, because none of the shit actually comes out to an even thing, because I do believe you are accurate in that this is all just tummy feels numbers.
Yes, that's what which is wild given how much they seem to have spent time building these things. Like I said, Miss Liberty has three ranks of hard to kill, and Minx has seven, which means that somewhere someone knew what those are and did.
Yeah. I mean, some of them, like, they'll have parentheses where it's like, oh, you have attractiveness +1 bonus to social rolls. Great. At least I know what that does. But when it's like hard to kill 8, what does that do?
Yeah. They also have a contact. I think I remember if they're all at 4 or no, they're at varying numbers.
Yeah, all of them have a contact with one of the main heroes from the main hero team, and all of them are out of town.
Every one of them has in parentheses out of town. So you don't just end the adventure by being like, "I'll just go get Statesman."
Yeah, I'm going to go call Superman in and he'll deal with it.
Yeah, no, not my problem.
Yeah. You're like, "Oh, some weird guy with a like dart gun is fucking people up. Can I call the Flash to deal with that?"
I feel like in this world, in that world, yeah, the Flash would be like, "Well, of course, I can take care of it so fast that I fix it before it happened. I'm the Flash, whatever."
I went back in time, so you never asked me this.
Yeah, whatever. But in this world in particular, there's such a hierarchy of superheroes and so many ranking organizations and structures and everything in place that if you called Statesman and you're like, "Zombies are attacking grocery stores," he'd be like, "That sounds like a job for you, young hero. Buck up."
Yeah. He'd be like, "There are a million heroes. I don't care. Yeah. You call me for a UFO or greater threat."
Yeah, this is like, I don't know, the One Punch Man or Hero Academia universe where they're like, "I don't respond to shit below rank 2.
Yeah, look, I'm a class A hero. This is a class D thing. You can fucking deal with it.
I'm proud of you for accomplishing it. I'm not smug about this, but that is your job."
That's what you signed up for, literally.
Uh-huh. So, it's funny. They were like, "Yeah, we do have to head off at the pass that people are going to try and call their patrons, but we also have to give everybody the rank in contact and variable ranks in contact from one character to another." Like, Miss Liberty is way closer to Statesman.
Oh, no, she is Statesman 1.
Oh, wait, what am I thinking of then?
Oh, the high one is Luminary has contact 4 with Positron.
Yeah, and Minx has it with Synapse. But, like, for example, Swan is only at rank 3 with Manticore. Should be -3. That guy's a creep.
He should not be allowed within rank 3 yards of her.
Uh-huh. But it's just like, why are they have different rank numbers if it's never going to matter? Like, these characters, it's so weird.
It's interesting choices for a lot of things.
They also have a bunch of skills that I just don't ever see coming up that they clearly spent a bit of time and resources showing you that, like, this isn't just a combat test is what is the thing. Like, this looks like it's designed to take to a convention and show people, say, "Oh, we brought this to Gen Con. We're going to run a City of Heroes game. We're going to put it through its paces. And if there's enough interest," instead you're like, "Well, I wonder what Swan's engineering score is."
It's
zero. A thing that'll never come up.
I mean, not in this adventure. And hopefully, probably not ever, given that the only one with any engineering is the robot and it's at 2.
Yeah. It's just an interesting... She has brawling of 3, which is weird, given that she should be terrible at that.
Yeah, that is the other thing that I was like, this feels very tummy feels for this, because I was like, your brawling is at 3, but your punch accuracy is 3. But your punch accuracy should be your dexterity plus your brawling. You should be punching at a 7. What the fuck is the numbers here? None of the numbers add up.
Yeah, it's just arbitrary. It's very weird that they went so out of their way to try and explain this stuff, and then it just doesn't... She has way more hard to kill than everybody else, too. Goddamn. But, yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah, it is a weird thing, and...
But it's fun to read. This was fun to read.
It was just interesting to go, like, huh, why is this way? Do a bunch of, like, investigation into the actual rules of Unisystem and go, oh, it's that way because someone went, "Nah, I'd like it to be that way."
So I'm just going to send out a quick, I don't know who owns, if Eden Studios is still a thing, like if Unisystem is still being printed. I forgot to look that up. But I just wanted to say a thank you to whoever thought that this needed to be on DriveThruRPG for free.
God
for some
bless.
Reason. This is such a neat little historical thing. What a great usage of DriveThruRPG to be like, hey, here's an RPG. Like, you know, in the absence of the Trove.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was a despicable thing that was very useful for us. I got because we were never using it to get like, let's get the hot new thing for free for ha ha ha. We don't care. And rather, we were like, God, people put so much weird
shit. There's
some
shit that is impossible to find here.
Yeah.
Oh, good. It has been preserved for posterity.
That's what it should have been used for.
We're here to use it for the actual thing.
We were like the literal use case for the Trove, and it kills me that we couldn't be because of fucking what's his name from the from Zweihander.
Aww.
Anyway, we want to get to the end of this bad boy.
May as well.
What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing about this
is... You're wrong, it's pizza.
Is pizza. I love pizza. I think my favorite thing is probably the inspiration system in here. I love that they went, well, our game already has a drama point thing, and we can just translate that into a full thing from the video game, and it's one of the few times that trying to just take a thing and literally translate it. It's got the same three levels. It's the same versions. They do the same things. And it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that you see someone do like, I want to take a thing from a video game and put it in an RPG and make it the same.
Yeah.
And it doesn't suck absolute ass.
Yeah.
And so good for them.
Yeah. And I'm going to say the same thing, except it's going to be those hospital teleporter patches.
Great.
Because I was like, that is such a gamey mechanic. That whole thing where you're like, when you get knocked out in this game, you automatically go to, or you don't automatically, you can press a button to return to the hospital. You can hope that someone else can res you, or you might have an inspo that reses you.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is part of the inspiration mechanic that's kind of fun. You can always spend like one inspiration to auto get up. So they're like, you should always keep at least one inspiration free.
Yeah, never spend all your inspiration points because you want at least one. So if you got dropped to zero, you can be like, no, I'm good.
I'll stand back up. Granted, I'll be disoriented and shitty for a couple of seconds, just like in the MMO, unless I use another inspiration called a break free.
Yep. So you're like, all right, I need to save two so I can get back up and then remove any debilitating effects.
Yes. So that was, I thought that was very clever. But the fact that the hospital patches were just kept in and then just kind of worked into the story, they were like, yeah, they're just a thing that you get given when you register as an official superhero, is a patch that teleports you to the hospital. How do villains work? Don't worry about it. Let's not even, you know, we don't need to
villains,
have...
Villains? Well, you punch them until they fall unconscious, mm-hmm. and then you take them to jail.
This game isn't older than City of Villains.
Yeah.
It's the same age, so they knew about it. It's just funny to me that they were like, it's a registered superhero thing. I guess Arachnos gives all the villains one for free.
Yes. You are part of the Arachnos team, and they have stolen technology that lets you do that.
It's basically Cobra. You know how Cobra is just like G.I. Joe, but red colors instead of blue? It's fine.
Yeah.
They still have the same health plans and everything.
They go see the same doctors.
Uh-huh. I thought that was kind of a neat, to be like, oh, your character is not really in that much threat in this game. You're not going to die. At worst, you're going to get teleported to a hospital and be out of the game for a minute or two.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite thing?
There's no reason for the numbers to be inflated like this.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's just, if I'm looking at it going like, all right, well, I want these powers to do 75 damage, but I guess I need the heroes to have like 400 hit points. I'm like, but you could just like divide everything by five or use standard cinematic unisystem rules or whatever. It just, because there's nothing that explains why it would be this way,
mm-hmm.
it really feels extraordinarily arbitrary.
I just feel like maybe I'm kind of wondering, I'm used to City of Heroes numbers not even existing. Like, I know that they do. And that people get obsessive over them and that you can actually...
Oh, yeah. City of Heroes is basically a spreadsheet game for nerds.
Yes. But for me, it was a pretty dress-up game with green and red bars for health. Then I was just like, oh, my bar is at 78% or like some of my bar is gone. I need to press a button to make my bar come back. So I don't know what the numbers are. Maybe these are accurately reflecting in-game bar numbers for like a security level 6 character.
Probably not.
I would never have known. That might be what they were trying to accomplish. I don't know.
But yeah, it is a wild thing to have those numbers be the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
What is your least favorite?
I feel like I would have liked a little bit more explanation about some of the mechanics, like how damage works. Because we kind of had to back solve that by having you go read some of the old Unisystem things.
And even then, I'm like, I think this is what they were trying to convey, but they do not convey it.
Yeah, because like I was saying, all damage amounts in this game are expressed as a big number / a small number, and we came up with a couple different reasonable interpretations of what that is off the top of our head, but the game doesn't actually tell us.
No, and it's got two parts where it's like, oh, when you do a thing, these are the different effects that this power will have, and it's like, damage, it will do damage, moving on, and I'm like, Don't do that. You have a number slash number. You have to tell me what the slash is.
I need to know what they are. My first assumption was that there's max slash increment. And
that is essentially it. It's just the increment is security level.
Security level, where I thought it was max slash increment just basing off the success system. But that wouldn't work. What does work is using his max slash security levels. So that's almost certainly what it is.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to be told, you know, to figure that out instead of having to solve for it.
Yeah. Having to do some weird calculations and back work.
Get your shit together, 2006.
Yeah. How dare you be an unreleased game that isn't perfect?
It's pretty minor. I'm not that mad. Would you play this?
I mean, I don't think I could. Although if someone was like, hey, I'm going to be at Gen Con and I am running City of Heroes, which honestly would be us. If anyone was going to be at Gen Con running this game, it would be us.
Yeah.
It might be us.
Yeah, it might be. I'm not saying it won't be. But we're really busy at Gen Con this year, but if we have time to run games.
But if there was someone that I was like, oh, I'm at Big Bad Con, and I look at the list of events and someone's like, I'm running the City of Heroes game, I'd be like, Yes, obviously I'm playing in this.
Yeah, there's a certain subset of people. Like, that's our bread. Those are our people.
Yeah.
Like when we had no trouble filling a Dallas table last year.
Yeah, when someone just looks at the list of things and is like, all right, well, there's 500 different D&D and Pathfinder things and Dallas? And they're like, well, duh, that.
It's expensive because the people who are running it think they're fancy. And which is funny because, we price those things at what we consider a reasonable price point for our time. We're very busy at Gen Con.
Yeah.
We're very busy. And it takes, no one else has this shit and wants to run it. But
we are doing a weird service.
We're doing a weird service. So if it costs $50, it costs $50 fucking bucks. I don't want to hear about it. And I don't have
to. And no one has ever complained about
it. It's amazing. But what it is amazing in particular is that people sign up. Some of them know who we are. And they're like, well, it's a chance to hang out with the System Master guys. And I get that. But there's always like three or four people at these big tables who are like, who the fuck are you guys? I want to play Dallas and it's worth this amount of money.
I don't know who you are, but I paid $45 so I could play the Sentinels RPG. And you're like, cool, dude. I love it. Let's go.
Let's do this, baby. And last year I also ran Bullwinkle and Rocky and people got on board and now I'm like, yeah, we're doing that too.
We've got some stuff.
Yeah. So.
So would you play this?
Like you were saying, it's a novelty and an oddity, but the only people I can even see potentially being willing to run it is, I would play it if you ran it.
Yeah.
You could play it if I ran it. And that's the only way it would ever happen.
Yeah. This is the type of game where I'm like, I'm sad that I'm the only person that would run this.
Let's be realistic. You're the only... I would plan it if you ran it. You would never play this.
No. You'd be like, sure, I'll run this.
I changed my mind. No, I'm running Sentinels.
JK, I'm going to do anything else.
So there you go. Yeah, it's a weird oddity. It was fun to talk about.
Yep. It is just an interesting footnote of history.
No character creation, though, so bonus content's going to be a little funky.
Yeah, that's right. We do bonus content over on our Patreon at patreon.com/systemmastery at the $2 a month level.
Mm-hmm.
You unlock years of content.
10 of them.
And we go make characters in the games we have reviewed. And in a case like this, and it has come up several times, where there is no character creation, we still make characters in something else.
Yep. And we vary how we do it. A lot of the time we'll go back to the first 40 or so games that we didn't make characters in, if we can find them still and if we can figure them out
and
in time.
And we can afford them.
And we can afford them if we had time to read them again, because frankly, we've forgotten how to play them.
Yep.
Because this is what, episode 277 or something like that. I forget what exactly.
Yeah.
Or we will come up with a gimmick. Like one time we had to create Santas in whatever engine we wanted to. And here I think we said, let's make City of Heroes characters in non-City of Heroes games.
Yes. And so, I don't know about you, I made an actual City of Heroes character that I play.
Same.
Good.
Yes. So we both made some of our original characters from City of Heroes way back in the day to see how they shape up. The only thing I will tell you right now is I did not just use Sentinels like a coward. I used a different cowardly engine instead.
Uh-huh.
And John used something brave, I'm pretty sure.
I used something not great, but there it is.
And that's going to be over at patreon.com/systemmastery. Please come by and support us. $2 doesn't just get you that. It also gets you ad-free versions of all of our main feed shows, as well as one convenient RSS feed for all of them.
Oh, yeah. Super good. If you're not on that, honestly, even if you don't want the bonus content, $2 a month for no ads fucking rules.
And all in one RSS, it's a great way to go.
Yeah.
So please come support us there. Otherwise, we'll see you at all the various conventions we're doing this year. We just got back from Emerald City. Up next is C2E2.
Yep.
And then I don't think we need to promote ACD Games Day, but we will eventually.
Yeah, because none of you will be there. Yeah, it doesn't matter for you.
Some of you might be games.
You might own a distribution area.
Hubs, yeah, or a game store, in which case I guess we'll see you at ACD Games Day.
Yeah.
Come say hi. We'll be drunk.
So drunk on our own supply.
Uh-huh. Well, not really. I barely drink, but yeah. And we'll be at Gen Con and all that other shit. Thank you. But hey, I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank you for being here. And we'll see you again real soon with yet more exciting content. And until we do, you have a good one.
Welcome to Character Creation Cast, a show where we create and discuss characters, the best part of role-playing games, with guests using their favorite systems. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter.
And I'm your other host, Amelia Antrim. Join us as we sit down with game designers, podcasters, and fans of games as we dive into learning about different RPGs through the lens of character creation. It's a combination of character building, player advice, game design insights, and even a little bit of fan fiction for a different game every month. We tackle a variety of new and old games, both well-known and indie-produced titles.
We learn how creating characters can tell us a lot about the games themselves. Check us out today anywhere you can get podcasts or on the OneShot Podcast Network at oneshotpodcast.com.